Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. From English translation of Gita Prabodhini by Shraddhe Swamiji, Sri Ramsukhdas Ji Maharaj. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Chapter 6. The Blessed Lord said, "He who discharges his duties without desiring its fruit is both a sannyasi, that is Sankhya Yogi, and a yogi, Karma Yogi. He is not a sannyasi, a renouncer, who has merely renounced the sacred fire, and is not a Karma Yogi, who has merely stopped all actions. O Pandava, what they speak of as sannyasa, know that to be the same as yoga, for none becomes a yogi without renouncing thought of the world, that is, without giving up subtle desires of the world. To the contemplative soul, that is Muni, who seeks perfection in Karma Yoga, that is, Samta or equanimity, performing the duty without selfish motive is said to be the means. For the same person, when he is established in yoga, serenity of mind, absence of subtle worldly desires, is said to be the means to God realization. When one ceases to have an attachment, either for the objects of senses or for the actions, and has renounced all subtle desires of the world, one is said to have attained perfection in yoga, that is, he is Yoga Rudha. Let a man lift himself by his own self, and let him not degrade himself, for he himself is his friend, and he himself is his enemy. To him who has conquered his self, by himself, his own self is a friend, but to him who has not conquered the self, his own self acts as his enemy. The self-conquered one, whose mind is perfectly calm, in the midst of the pairs of opposites, such as cold and heat, favorable and unfavorable, joy and sorrow, and honor and dishonor, he is in constant communion with the Supreme Spirit, that is God. The yogi whose mind is satiated with jnana, knowledge, and vijnana, that is realization, who remains unshaken under all circumstances and master of his senses, to whom clod of earth, a stone, or a piece of gold are the same, is said to be a realized soul. He stands supreme who regards well-wishers, friends, foes, neutral persons, mediators, the hateful, the relatives, saints and sinners as alike. A dhyan yogi should constantly engage in meditation, living alone in solitude, having subdued his mind and having gotten rid of bond of desires and possessions. Having firmly placed his seat in a clean and level place, which is neither too high nor too low, covered by kusha, that is sacred grass, a deer skin and a cloth, one over the other, and seating on this asana, concentrating the mind and controlling the thinking faculty and the senses, he should practice yoga for self-purification. Let him firmly hold the trunk, head and neck straight and steady, gazing at the tip of his nose without looking in other directions. Serene and fearless, firm in the vow of celibacy, with mind controlled, the vigilant yogi should sit meditating on me and having me alone as the supreme goal. In this manner, constantly meditating on me, the yogi of disciplined mind attains the everlasting peace, that is supreme bliss, abiding in me, that is nirvana. O Arjun, this yoga is neither for him who eats too much, nor for him who does not eat at all. It is neither for him who is given to too much sleep, nor even for him who keeps awake. The man who is regulated in diet and recreation, restrained in action, who is disciplined in sleeping and waking, gets rid of all sorrow. When the perfectly controlled mind is fixed on the self, that is Atma alone, free from desires for enjoyments, then the person is said to be a yogi, that is, an achiever of yoga. As a flame of a lamp in a windless place does not flicker, but burns with a steady flame, this is the simile used to describe the disciplined mind of a yogi practicing meditation on the self. When the mind, disciplined by the practice of yoga, becomes tranquil, and when the yogi beholds the self, that is Atma, by the self, and is contented in the self, when the yogi feels that supreme and transcendental bliss, while his discrimination remains fully awakened, which is perceived by the purified intellect and which transcends the senses and wherein established, Dhyan Yogi never moves away from the reality, that is, Tattva or the truth. And having attained that state, he does not reckon any other gain greater than that. Established therein, he is not shaken even by the heaviest affliction. This disconnection from the assumed union with pain, travails of worldly life, is called yoga. That yoga, which is the aim of Dhyan Yoga, that Dhyan Yoga should be practiced with determination and with a steady, resolute mind. Completely renouncing all desires arising from sankalpa, that is, resolves born of vasanas or from thoughts of the world, and restraining the senses from all sides by the mind, little by little, through constant practice, he should attain tranquility by means of purified reason, mind centered on God. He should think of nothing else. By whatever cause the restless and the unsteady mind wanders away, let it be pulled back from those objects by repeatedly and continually concentrating it only on God. Supreme sattvika happiness certainly comes to the yogi whose sins are entirely wiped out. That is, he is now sinless, whose passion, that is rajoguna, is subdued, whose mind has become perfectly calm, that is pure, and who has become one with Brahma, that is God. The sinless yogi thus, submerging his self always in God, easily experiences the infinite bliss of oneness with Brahma, the Absolute. The yogi, Sankhya yogi, whose mind is steeped in yoga, that is Dhyan yoga, looks on all with an equal eye, sees his self present in all beings, and all beings mere as appearance within his self. he, the devotee, that is follower of yoga of devotion, who sees me, the universal self, present in all beings and sees all beings existing in me. I am never out of sight for him, nor is he ever out of my sight. He, the bhakti yogi, following the discipline of devotion, who established in union with me, worships me as abiding in all beings, though engaged in all forms of activities, that yogi always dwells in me alone. That yogi, that is devotee, O Arjun, is regarded as supreme, param yogi, who looks on all as one, like his own body, who sees pleasure and pain of all with a similar eye. Arjun said, O Madhusudana, that is Krishna, this yoga in the form of equanimity you have just spoken of, I do not perceive its stability due to restlessness of mind. O Krishna, the mind verily is restless, turbulent, obstinate, and powerful. Therefore, I consider it as difficult as to control the wind. The Blessed Lord said, doubtless, O mighty arm, the mind is restless and hard to control. But by practice and by dispassion, O son of Kunti, that is Arjun, it can be controlled. Yoga is hard to realize by one whose mind is not completely subdued, but it can easily be achieved by him who has controlled his mind and who strives ceaselessly. Such is my conviction. Arjun said, O Krishna, he who though endowed with faith is lax in his striving, whose mind deviates from yoga, having failed to attain perfection in it, what fate does he meet with? O mighty armed, Sri Krishna, deluded from the path to God realization and without any hold upon the world, thus deprived of both God realization and worldly enjoyment, does he not perish like a rent cloud? O Krishna, dispel this doubt of mine completely, for none other than you is competent enough to remove this doubt. The Blessed Lord said, O Partha, that is Arjun, there is no fall for him either here or hereafter, O my son, for none who works for self-redemption meets with an evil end. The fallen yogi, having attained the world of righteousness, which men of meritorious deeds are entitled, and having lived there for countless years, is reborn in the house of the pious and prosperous. Or, if he had fallen from yoga after developing dispassion, he is born in a family of enlightened yogis. But this kind of birth is very difficult to obtain in this world. There he regains knowledge acquired in the previous birth automatically, and he strives again for perfection with great vigor than before. O joy of the Kurus, Arjun! The fallen yogi who takes birth in the house of the prosperous, though subject to the senses, is drawn towards God due to his former practice, as even a seeker who merely wishes to know of yoga of equanimity transcends the performance of Vedic rites performed with selfish motive. A yogi who strives painstakingly, purified from sins and perfecting himself through many lives attains the supreme state. The yogi is superior to ascetics, not devoid of desires, superior to men of learning, nor of scriptures, and superior to those who perform actions, that is, self-motivated actions. Therefore, do thou become a yogi, O Arjun. Of all yogis, he who devoutly worships me, with his mind focused on me, I hold him to be the best of yogis. Thus with the words, Om Tat Sat, the names of the Lord as sung in the Upanishads of the Bhagavad Gita, by the Lord, the knowledge of Brahma, the Supreme, the science of self-control, the dialogue between Sri Krishna and Arjun. This is the sixth designated discourse, Yoga of Self-Discipline. Narayan, Narayan, Narayan.